January 30th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 12, verse 13. All Moses wanted was Pharaoh's permission to take the people on a 3 days journey to a place where they could worship God. God had put a difference between his people and the people of Egypt, just as today he's put a difference between the people of God and the people of the world. We do not share the same core values. We are worlds apart with two different eternal destinations. Don't think you can marry the world to your Christianity. Don't think you can reconcile the two. The world doesn't want believers to be too radical, so it offers various compromises. Sacrifice in the land, Pharaoh told him. Don't go too far away. Don't take your children. These were some of the circumstances that Pharaoh and his officials wanted to impose on the people of Israel, the Israelites. Don't take your possessions to serve God. Well, let me ask you, have you been tempted by any of these compromises lately? The world doesn't mind you being religious or even a bit spiritual. But don't be too radical. God's judgments had practically ruined the land, yet Pharaoh would not give in. He was hard-hearted. In so doing, Pharaoh thought he was showing great strength. Actually, God was using him to display his own sovereignty. God is greater than any ruler in the world, any ruler the world has ever known. So we need never fear. Remember, all a world ruler can do is rule here. And this place is temporary. The world is passing away. Our kingdom is eternal. And God rules there. Pharaoh's confession of sin, so to speak, was not sincere. He only wanted Moses to stop the plagues. True repentance involves a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a change of life and values. Saul, Judas, were all guilty of insincere confession of sin. Well, with that, let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. January 30th, Exodus chapter 10, verse 1, through chapter 12, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Return to Pharaoh and again make your demands. I have made him and his officials stubborn, so I can continue to display my power by performing miraculous signs among them. You will be able to tell wonderful stories to your children and grandchildren about the marvelous things I am doing among the Egyptians to prove that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go, so they can worship me. If you refuse, watch out. For tomorrow I will cover the whole country with locusts. There will be so many that you won't be able to see the ground. They will devour everything that escaped the hailstorm, including all the trees in the fields. They will overrun your palaces and the homes of your officials and all the houses of Egypt. Never in the history of Egypt has there been a plague like this one." And with that, Moses turned and walked out. The court officials now came to Pharaoh and appealed to him. "How long will you let these disasters go on? Please let the Israelites go to serve the Lord their God. Don't you realize that Egypt lies in ruins?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "All right, go and serve the Lord your God," he said. "But tell me, just whom do you want to take along?" "Young and old, all of us will go," Moses replied. "We will take our sons and daughters and our flocks and herds. We must all join together in a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh retorted, "The Lord will certainly need to be with you if you try to take your little ones along. I can see through your wicked intentions. Never! Only the men may go and serve the Lord, for that is what you requested." And Pharaoh threw them out of the palace. Then the Lord said to Moses, Raise your hand over the land of Egypt to bring on the locusts. Let them cover the land and eat all the crops still left after the hailstorm. So Moses raised his staff, and the Lord caused an east wind to blow all that day and through the night. When morning arrived, the east wind had brought the locusts, and the locusts swarmed over the land of Egypt from border to border. It was the worst locust plague in Egyptian history, and there has never again been one like it. For the locusts covered the surface of the whole country, making the ground look black. They ate all the plants and all the fruit in the trees that had survived the hailstorm. Not one green thing remained, neither tree nor plant, throughout the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly sent for Moses and Aaron. "I confess my sin against the Lord your God and against you," he said to them. "Forgive my sin only this once, and plead with the Lord your God to take away this terrible plague." So Moses left Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. The Lord responded by sending a strong west wind that blew the locusts out into the Red Sea. Not a single locust remained in all the land of Egypt. But the Lord made Pharaoh stubborn once again, and he did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Lift your hand toward heaven, and a deep and terrifying darkness will descend on the land of Egypt." So Moses lifted his hand toward heaven, and there was deep darkness over the entire land for 3 days. During all that time, the people scarcely moved, for they could not see. But there was light, as usual, where the people of Israel lived. Then Pharaoh called for Moses. "Go and worship the Lord," he said, "but let your flocks and herds stay here. You can even take your children with you." "No," Moses said, "we must take our flocks and herds for sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord our God. All our property must go with us. Not a hoof can be left behind. We will have to choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from among these animals, and we won't know which sacrifices he will require until we get there." So the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart once more, and he would not let them go. "Get out of here," Pharaoh shouted at Moses. "Don't ever let me see you again. The day you do, you will die." "Very well," Moses replied. "I will never see you again." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will send just one more disaster on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. After that, Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, he will be so anxious to get rid of you that he will practically force you to leave the country. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold." Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt. He was respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. So Moses announced to Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will pass through Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the oldest son of his lowliest slave. Even the firstborn of the animals will die. Then a loud wail will be heard throughout the land of Egypt. There has never been such wailing before, and there never will be again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. All the officials of Egypt will come running to me, bowing low. 'Please leave,' they will beg. 'Hurry and take all your followers with you.' Only then will I go." Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh's presence. Now the Lord had told Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, but this will give me the opportunity to do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt." Although Moses and Aaron did these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, the Lord hardened his heart so he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country. Now the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron while they were still in the land of Egypt. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. If a family is too small to eat an entire lamb, let them share the lamb with another family in the neighborhood. Whether or not they share in this way depends on the size of each family and how much they can eat. This animal must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no physical defects. Take special care of these lambs until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then, each family in the community must slaughter its lamb. They are to take some of the lamb's blood and smear it on the top and sides of the door frame of the house where the lamb will be eaten. That evening, everyone must eat roast lamb with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. The meat must never be eaten raw or boiled. Roast it, including the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until the next day. Whatever is not eaten that night must be burned before morning. Wear your traveling clothes as you eat this meal, as though prepared for a long journey. Wear your sandals and carry your walking sticks in your hands. Eat the food quickly, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn sons and firstborn male animals in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. The blood you have smeared on your doorposts will serve as a sign. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. January 30th. And now, as we begin to turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 28. Here in this passage of Scripture, we'll find a parable. We'll find out about what shall we have. The parable is not about salvation, for we cannot work for salvation. Nor is it about rewards, for we do not all receive the same reward. The story concerns the selfish attitude implicit in Peter's question. Well, what's his question? We'll find out here in a moment as we read the scripture. The key to the parable, as we shall see, is that the first workers hired demanded a contract and insisted on knowing how much they would get. The other workers trusted the landowner. If you ask God for a contract, you will only rob yourself, for he is generous with his workers. Be faithful to do your job and avoid watching the other workers, and he will deal with you generously. Well, let's find out all about it now as we begin our reading today here in the New Testament. January 30th, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 28. For the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. At noon, and again around 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that evening, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The owner of the estate told them, "Then go on out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired earlier came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind?" And so it is that many who are first now will be last then, and those who are last now will be first then. As Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. "When we get to Jerusalem," he said, "the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, whipped, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, will you let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one at your right and the other at your left?" But Jesus told them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." "You will indeed drink from it," he told them. "But I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that in this world kings are tyrants, and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must become your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Psalm 25, verses 1 through 15. This psalm is helpful when you're making decisions and seeking God's will. What kind of people does God guide? Well, those who glorify Him. If you want His will for His glory, He will show you the right path. If you have selfish motives, He may let you have your way, and then you will regret it. And God guides those who wait. You're not wasting time when you wait on the Lord in prayer. He guides those who ask. God wants to show you His ways, teach you His paths, and lead you in His truths. The Word of God and prayer always go together, so spend time in His Word. If you ask Him sincerely, He will answer you clearly. He guides those who are clean, and He guides those who submit. The God does not guide rebels, but He joyfully leads those who fear Him and submit to His will. So keep your eyes on the Lord and let Him have His way. He knows where He's going and what He's doing, so follow Him by faith. The enemy was slandering David again, and he had no way to vindicate himself. Samuel Johnson called slander the revenge of a coward, and it is. What should you do when people spread lies about you? Psalm 25, verses 1 through 15, the Psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your unfailing love and compassion, which you have shown from long ages past. Forgive the rebellious sins of my youth. Look instead to the eyes of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in what is right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all those who keep his covenant and obey his decrees. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the promised land. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. With them he shares the secrets of his covenant. My eyes are always looking to the Lord for help, for he alone can rescue me from the traps of my enemies. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. Even though they have no prince, governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I want you to learn this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest.